Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Now, Acts chapter. How'd you know that? Acts 2. You know why they call them Pentecostals? Because they're always preaching about Pentecost. You're going to preach about Pentecost? Absolutely, yes, I am. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost, you ready? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, would you say that with me? Suddenly, a sound of blowing and a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All right, go shoot on down to verse 15. Peter preaching. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No. This is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Let's stop there. Father, thank you. Move in power in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Lord, over the past 24 hours, began to show me some of the first encounters I had with his presence. Knowing that it was God that was there. I didn't have language all the time to know that it was the Lord or the Holy Spirit. I remember being in a Hunger Project gathering. The Hunger Project was started in 1977, and it was a nonprofit that came together to raise money for the starving world. And they did that, and they still do it. 21 million came. I happened to put it on chat this afternoon. 21 million came into that Hunger Project gathering to feed those who were hungry all across America and the nations. Well, I went to this gathering, and it was in this beautiful brownstone building on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. I'll tell you what a brownstone building is. They're usually about 5 stories tall. They're narrow, and they're some of them are magnificent. Others of them are just very simple homes. This one was very special. Mahogany railings and carvings and everything. When you walked in, art all over the walls. And so I was invited to this event. It was a fundraising event for the Hunger Project. Well, I went in, and this guy droned on forever. Now, mind you, I'm 19. And this guy's like, wah, 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 wah. I'm like, this is so boring. So I faded from my friend, used a facility, but there's only so many times you can get up to use a facility. Got to use a facility. I got up, I got a water. I was still losing my mind. Like, finish up already, but he just went, wah, 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 wah. And I know none of you have ever felt that way. Maybe. Maybe. Well, I got up again. And I walked, I was falling asleep. I got up again and I walked into another room and I saw these stairs go up. And there was a, you know, one of those velvet barrier, you know, little usher ropes, whatever you call them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It seemed like at the movie theater. Used to. Now they have these other seatbelt looking things. The velvet ones were way better. And I looked around. Oh, yeah. I went under the velvet thing and I went upstairs into the house. I know. But I think maybe I was being led by the Spirit as I think back on it. And I was kind of like, it wasn't a private house. It was a house that was used for events like this. And I don't think it felt like that. Anyway, I hope I was right. So I'm on the second floor in a place I'm not supposed to be. And I saw this warm glow coming out of this room. And so I tiptoe into the room, and it's a chapel, and there's one candle burning. And when I walked in the room, a rush of heat, like hot oil, like honey and electricity came all over me. I grabbed the post of the room. I was like, ah, what is that? And I just stayed there and I realized, I think this is God. That's the thought I have. Because it wasn't like the boogeyman. It was this holy, holy thing. And I was able to get myself out of the room without falling to the ground. I went downstairs and I got my friend. I said, dude, come with me right now. This guy's like, wah, wah, wah. I said, forget him. Come on, come here, come here, come on. So I took him outside. I took him up. We both went into that room together. And he's like, what is that? I said, I think it's God. And we just, you know, your hands just kind of go up automatically, even though you might not be a believer. And I was not. The power of God is real. The power of God will change you. The power of God is being put on display all over the world and should be put on display in your home, should be put on display in your life group, should be put on display in the church. One of the things I was, you know, it's semi-embarrassing kind of, but I don't really care. I got set free from the opinions of people. Took a little while. But when I was being raised up in our church, I told you I got saved. I was in my mid to late 20s when I got born again and came into our church. The power of God would hit me, and I used to run. Might run tonight, matter of fact, just for fun, just to freak some of you all out. No, I'm kidding. I used to run. What do you mean you used to run? Well, we'd be worshiping, and worship would go to another level, and then it would go to another level. And then there would come a place, and this is how I describe it, it would come a place where my spirit wanted to do what my body couldn't do. That is how I described that. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to run now. It was not anything like that, and God is my witness. Although there are times I ran because I needed to just get free from something, but mostly the Spirit of God would come on me, and I would take off, and I would run with all my might, and when I would run, I would feel the power and the pleasure of God, and something would change in my life. I started running in 1995 with Rodney Howard Brown, I think, and I never stopped. See, have you ever run here? Yes. I put a hole in the drywall at the other church. Some of you remember that. We got it fixed. It took a slip and hit the sound booth. I've got all kinds of stories of running. Some of you might need to run. You're so uptight, you look like you got baptized in lemon juice, not in the Holy Ghost. Be like, is he going to run? I don't know if we should be in this service. He's like stammering, nervous in the service right now. What's going to happen? Is he going to go? Maybe. Who knows? The point, listen, we want to have freedom in the spirit. There's so many people that are just stuck. It is not how it was. These are not drunk, the text says. What is that? What does that even mean? These are not drunk. Well, has any of you ever been drunk? None of you, of course. What does it look like when somebody's intoxicated? What is that? Something along those lines. They're slurring their speech. They thought it was slurred speech, but it was tongues. He says, these are not drunk as you would suppose. The power of God came on them. Now, I've seen people, I've seen all kinds of stuff. You want to hear some of the crazy stuff I've seen? You don't want to hear some of the crazy things. I remember running once. Power of God hit me. I took off running. I turned the corner. I would usually run counterclockwise. I turned the corner and was in a dead sprint down the end of the row. And this precious black lady turned the corner. And she was a big girl. Really big. Hundreds of pounds. Just like a grandma, you know what? Boom, I hit her, and she just grabbed me. And we spun around together while she screamed hallelujah. Boom, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then she let me go. And I was like, whoa. She got touched by God. I got touched by God, and I'm glad to be alive. Come on, somebody say amen. Terrifying moment. gloriously saved, rescued by the Spirit of God. She testified that she got touched by the Lord. Strange things can happen. I remember being at a meeting with Revival Today Church not long ago. In fact, I have to say this because I had a friend of mine, Jordan Hodges, just called me laughing. He can't stop laughing. And he says, I just heard a story about a 260-pound Alaskan pastor with a large church and how he came to these meetings with Jonathan Shuttlesworth and how he ran and an usher that was saved for 3 months drilled him and tackled him. And I thought, that's got to be Bracken. That has got to be Bracken. So he calls me. He can't stop laughing. I got a call previous to that by our own Pastor Bruno, who heard the story from Jonathan Shuttlesworth and was laughing so hard with his son that they had to move over the highway in Santiago, Chile, while they wept and cried and laughed because he could not drive anymore. So I'm just going to take the moment to say exactly what happened in that meeting, because his story is not what happened. You got to watch out for those evangelists. They say stuff sometimes, and maybe it's their memory. I know he would never lie on purpose. Amen? Because liars go to hell. I was worshiping, minding my own business. Worship had gone on for an hour. The power of God fell, and once again, my spirit wanted to do what my body couldn't. And I took off running. It was about 150 degrees in that tent in Pittsburgh. They had no air conditioner, but they had these large fans that had a curse word on it. I remember that. Big fans. I took off running. Well, they've never seen anybody run. They've just never seen anybody run in church before. How many, raise your hand if you've seen somebody run in church before. Okay. So I cross over the place where the pulpit is, and I'm aware now that I'm running. I've already been running for 25 yards, you know, 20 yards or whatever it is. I turn the corner, and something very hard hits me. Boom, and I just kind of threw it off and kept going. It was that usher. He had threw off that tackle. Come on, somebody, you ain't taking me out. You'd have to hit a whole lot harder and got to hit lower, as we saw emulated on Sunday morning. For those of you who were here. Lift your hands in Jesus. So I took off running the rest of the aisle, 2,000 people there, and somebody starts catching me, starts getting my shirt. And so then they find that my jacket, they finally gets a hold of my jacket and it anchors down. And like, I turned around, I'm like, dude, he's like, do not run in here. I'm like, all right, lighten up. He's like, don't ever do that again. I'm like, okay, all right. I walked off. I thought, geez, pretty uptight for a spirit-filled church. I mean, my God, I guess that guy needs to be filled with the Spirit himself. I don't know what his problem was. I've finished my lap because that's a thing for me. I learned it in sports. If you start a lap, you finish the lap. If you're bleeding and crawling, you finish the lap. So I finished. He stopped me midway. I walked, finishing my lap, and I gave a couple jumps just to make him nervous. I got to the end, I was like, so when I got to the back to the side, I was so out of breath. It was so hot, and I was so undued by the power of God that I just lied down. Well, when I lied down, my suit was jacked and everything was messed up, and Shuttlesworth looks over and says, what happened to Bracken? And the story is, an usher drilled me. But we know the real story. Lift your hands one more time for Jesus. Say, why are you sharing this? Because there's a freedom that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. There is joy, Psalm 16, at his right hand there's joy forevermore. There is a joy that'll come from God. There is a strength that'll come from God. Doesn't come by reeling all day long. Doesn't come by reading infinitesimal posts on Facebook. It doesn't come even at times by just reading your word, although I'm all to reading the word. Read the word, speak the word, share the word. But you've got to mix the word with the Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. There was a denomination that said, don't say Holy Ghost anymore. Say Holy Spirit. So I just want to say Holy Ghost more. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your hands and say Holy Ghost. My goodness. Oh, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's my friend. He's the third part of the Trinity, fully God. In 1737, and then we're going to look at the text, so I can't be accused of not getting in the text, because I just want you to really be rooted in the Word. I don't mind being accused. I've been accused of things. The most important, somebody said, does the word have preeminence here? I want to know. I want to know, Pastor, does the word have preeminence? And the answer is emphatically no. Not here. The Spirit has preeminence. The word will not be violated and we will preach it and teach it, but it would be perfectly fine if we just flowed in the Spirit and in the gifts right now all the rest of the night. It's 8:12. There is nothing on, you know, Netflix, there's nothing that you can watch. You can't watch later. Listen to this. 1737. That's a long time ago. A man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. He wrote this in one of his journals, and I have all of his journals. They're so profound to read them. There were some that were so greatly affected talking about one of his meetings that they were not able to go home. You ever been in a meeting like that? You were not able to go home. But were obliged to stay all night at the house where there were instances of person lying all night crying and mourning for their sins. Another excerpt says, some have had such extraordinary views of divine things and so strong an impression on them that I have thought that they were in danger of losing their strength, sinking under the weight of them. Some others were so filled with joy and admiration for God that they could not forbear loudly express it. Their joy was such as to take away their strength and make them faint. He talks about people shaking under the power of God, weeping under the power of God. These are excerpts from his journals, and they didn't even believe in the outpouring of the Spirit. They didn't teach it. People would be stuck to the floor. You ever seen anybody stuck to the floor? I was talking to Pastor Karen, and I was asking her, what are some of the major things? And I know some of them. We've been married a little while. What are some of the major things that happened to you that come to mind? There was a time where she got so touched by God that she could not get up off the floor, and I remember it. People would come and try to get her up, and they would end up on the floor. And their family come to try to get the people that ended up on the floor trying to get somebody else off the floor, and they're on the floor. And soon you have people like, they call it glued to the carpet. How come that doesn't happen all that much anymore? Well, it does happen occasionally. And we don't look for manifestation. We look to God. We look to him. We serve him. We worship him. We adore him. We seek after him. But there is manifestations of power that are put on display. I mean, there's signs and wonders. What is a sign and a wonder? What's a wonder? It's a sign that makes you wonder. We had a meeting years ago at Lucille Street. And the power of God was so strong. Which service went on and on and on. And I think you were there, Minister Heidi, on the keys. Can you play? Oh, yeah, go ahead. She's on the keys, and God had been dealing with me about Israel. In quote, he said this, "Your ignorance about Israel needs to end." It was a real strong word. I kid you not. The House of Pancakes, the IHOP had just opened, so that's how long ago that was. We went to go to the IHOP. It was started snowing. It's about this time of year. And I looked on my jacket, and all of the snowflakes were Stars of David. No, it so freaked me out that I thought I was seeing something. And I said, I had my wife look. I said, "Do you see Stars of David? What do you see?" She goes, "Gosh, they're all like Stars of Israel." I took a picture of it. I have a picture of it. It's like a 2 megapixel from a flip phone or something. Signs and wonders. I've seen many such things. They're not to be worshipped, and you're not to go after angels, you're to go after God. But there's got to come a hunger and a yearning. You know what's bigger than meth? You know what's bigger than addiction? You know what's bigger than demons? God. Demons are created things. God is, it's Zoroastrianism is the fight between Satan and God, and it sees them as like this divine wrestling match. It's totally not how it is. Satan is created, one day he's going to be uncreated, and one angel, not a big band of angels, one angel, one. One angel is going to come with one chain, wrap it around the ugly one, wrap it around the father of lies, and throw him in the lake of fire. One angel. But there's power that is released to his church. The gates of hell will not prevail. How do you think they don't prevail? There's demon power. There's darkness. You need God's power. You need resurrection power working on the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is available. Paul said, "I've not come with the eloquence of man." I think we come with too much eloquence sometimes. The eloquence of man or the wisdom of man, but of the power and the demonstration. Power. Dunamis is the Greek word from which we get dynamite. When you see somebody run or you see somebody look like dynamite went off and then you see a changed life, I mean, how are you going to call that Satan? And somebody said, "Tongues is of the devil." I do believe there's devil tongues. I do believe that. You say, "Well, I don't want those." A loving God with you serving him with all your heart, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your heavenly Father would give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. You've got to settle. You got to settle it. Come on, lift your hands. You got to settle it, God. He's good. You don't have to white knuckle over the next remaining months of this year, white knuckling it, hoping that God comes through for you. He has come through. He sent his son. He was crucified, and on the third day, he rose again. He has sent his son. He gave the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit to fill your heart, to fill my heart. The Holy Spirit doesn't live inside a temple made by human hands anymore. That's how it was in the Old Testament. It's not how it is anymore. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the Naos, the dwelling place of God. Here, today, tonight, right now. Not a building, but a people who will cry out to him and worship him. Those who've been cleansed from the former things now used for noble purposes. He'll release strength and courage, healing divine. He'll give you joy, joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. They had tarried in Jerusalem. So we look at this text. Joel 2 is not just history. It's really a pattern. Acts 2 and Joel 2. And he preaches from Joel. And if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard me say it, but the pattern was the same. In Joel's day, there was agricultural crisis. There was military crisis. There was there was all kinds of problems, the enemy. And in Joel 2, he says, rend your heart and not your garment. Call a sacred assembly, talking about fasting, talking about praying. And then in Joel 2:25 and following, and it'll come to pass afterward. Everybody say afterward. After what? After you rip this, not your garment. After you rend your heart, after you come before him in prayer and fasting and longing for him, it'll come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit. So that's the context of Joel 2. In Acts 2, that is what he preaches. He preaches Joel 2. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. What? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were there in that upper room for 10 days. We're going to go there. Those of you that are going to Israel, we're going to go to the upper room. I've been there before. Gathered together. They were terrified. They were terrified. Jesus is gone. He rose again. He walked the earth for 40 days and he ascended. 500 people saw him ascend, but only 120 were in the upper room. And the 120 in the upper room had this unity. They had this united hunger for God. It wasn't just a couple people like right now, for instance, right now. I'd say, now I stopped the service, so you're starting to pay attention, but right before that, about 3/4 of you, okay, I think it's more than that. I'll go with 6/8 of the congregation is listening. The other 2/8, texting, scrolling, answering something, looking at an email, wondering what you're gonna eat for dinner. It's very different, very different. So they're there in the upper room and there's this unity, there's this hunger, there's this desperation. Deuteronomy says, I led you into the wilderness that you would call to me and I would feed you with manna, which you had never known. Fascinating. One of the keys to the outpouring of the Spirit, which I am trying to cultivate with this message, is hunger. Hunger. Don't create a theology and a doctrine about something that just because you've never experienced it. Well, I've never run, I've never laughed, I've never been glued to what? What is he talking about? Yet throughout history, you'll see those who've been powerfully impacted by God's word, powerfully impacted by the Spirit of God, and they become another man. And you look through the Old Testament and you see people, Saul, when he came to, said Nioth, comes and the Spirit comes on him. It was on Samuel. He prophesies with the rest of the prophets and he prophesies there. He comes under this corporate anointing. I believe that God is pouring out his Spirit here in Kings and beyond. I believe that God is pouring out his Spirit in Alaska, and it's like this canopy of power and fire coming over our whole state, and anybody that flies into it's going to begin to experience. It's like a glory bomb. It's like if you went to places where they had meltdowns. Chernobyl, different places. You went there, Three Mile Island. How many of you remember that? There's still radiation. You see, God wants to pour out his Spirit so big and so strong through you with joy and strength and holiness and purity. And you change your shorts, underwear. A holiness and a purity, so much so that the power of God comes that when people come in to visit, how many of you think about John Cartwright, circuit riding preacher, Methodist? The Methodists were on fire. They're just like mostly backslid now. I'm sure there's some exceptions. And there's some that have First Assembly of God on their church and they backslid too. So I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying that we need fire. And the mainline denominations were filled with fire. The Methodist, a shouting Methodist. The Cane Ridge River Revival in Kentucky. Ever heard of that? Go look that up. This is some of the history of our nation. The time for smooth knees and apathy is long gone. One of our own has been picked off by a demonized sniper, martyred Charlie Kirk. It is my sincere prayer, as I've been telling you for going on 2 weeks now. 2 weeks now. That it's my prayer that 100,000 Charlie Kirk should be released, maybe even more. It's time to speak up. It's time to draw near. It's time to get set on fire. So Joel 2, he preaches Joel 2. This is that. He's telling them, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to take some notes, you might want to just jot this down. Everyone reacts differently to the Holy Spirit. There are some commonalities, I think, sometimes. But you're different than me. Your iris is different. Your fingerprints are different. We're all different. We had a young man come, and I've told the story many times before, so I'll tell it abbreviated. Came to our church. I met him by divine encounter in Talkeetna. Invited him, he was a missionary, to a land I'm not allowed to tell you about. Illegal to be there. He comes to church, he preaches, his wife stays home, he comes, he passes out yak butter, shows all kinds of pictures, stays until everyone leaves, it's just me and him, and then he says with tears in his eyes, okay, I want what you have, I want that. I'm like, what? He's like, you know what? I'm like, the Holy Ghost. He says, yeah. I'm like, all right, let me, he says, no, can we go somewhere where there's nobody? I don't want to be walked in. I said, sure, we go to my office. I teach him Acts 2. I go through all the different texts as the Spirit leads me. And he acknowledges the truth of God's word and the infilling of the Spirit. And Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19 and Acts 8, it's inferred. And oh, on and on, on and on and on. It's all over. So he gets on his knees. There he is on his knees with his hands raised. I pray in the Spirit until I personally feel a wind blowing through my office. And at that moment, I knew this is the moment. I go over to him, I grab his head, and I pray for him. And I'm in everything I have. I'm in like first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, fifth gear. Nothing happens. He's like, yeah. I don't feel anything. I'm like, I had like a fresh encounter with God. He feels nothing. I feel like I got plugged into 223 phase and I've been electrocuted. I don't even know who this guy is really. I don't even know what's going on. He said, I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to fake it. I'm like, well, I'm glad. Okay, so I take a stack of books, literally this high, hand them to him. He drives off and I don't hear from him for 5 years. Comes back in 5 years and he's got eyes of fire. And he's got this confidence and this boldness. He's just a totally different man. He said, you know, I probably should have called you. I'm like, yeah, about what? He said, you know, when I was in your office? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I was driving home. And all of a sudden, it was like glory came in my car. And this language began to come forth. And I was filled with the Spirit. I'm like, that night? When you left? Like, dude, why didn't you call me? Like, because, man, that was powerful. He's like, I know. And then I went home, and my wife looked at me and said, oh, thank God. Pray for me. That's what she said. He wakes her up. She says, oh, thank God. One look at him. You know, you can tell people that are filled with the Spirit and those that aren't. There's some about them. They're different. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, are you different? You know you are. Peculiar people. He laid hands on her. She got filled with the Spirit and off to that nation that Christianity is illegal and persecuted there. Like I told you, 5 years later, I saw him. He said, when I got there, we were different. We had had one convert in the 5 years that we had been there previously and basically no fruit. One person saved in 5 years before he goes back. His landlord is there with some kind of a problem with his foot and knee. And he said, you know, can I pray for you? He laid hands on his landlord and got totally healed. And he became a second convert. And they then began to win souls all over. And God gave him a unique idea through a dream to start these businesses, which I won't mention just in case somebody could try to figure it out. And these businesses went all over this place where it's illegal. And he raised up indigenous people all within that 5 years. And he went back for another 5 years. He eventually got caught, was put before a firing squad, and they were not able to kill him. And they extradited him, sent him back to America while leaving an on fire, Spirit-filled church and all of these businesses all over. From one moment in the middle of my office. Now you wanna tell me how that is? How is it that you come and you'd share the word and all that and you get one convert, then you get the Rama Kalaramahaya, get the Holy Ghost, and something happens. Power. Power. Why was the first century church so effective? 3,000 got saved. 5,000 got saved. 3,000 got saved here. Then it stops naming and it's just multitudes. You know why it says multitudes? You can't count it anymore. So many saved, you can't count it anymore. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. People react differently when the Holy Spirit comes. There's wind sometimes, there's fire sometimes. You see it in the scriptures and it's good. Use that as a guideline, if you will, as the banks to the river. Leadership in the Spirit, I'm gonna say this. I'm so glad we have some leaders here. We have many. Do you know the Holy Spirit is not allowed to move in a lot of churches? You want to know why? There can be a price to pay. It's a price to pay. You love people that call your name. And we still are in some circles called the crazy church. Let's see if we can help them believe that that's true. Amen. Praise God. No, we call the crazy church, and I'm the crazy pastor. I've heard that over and over and over and over. And yet, here we are in our crazy building. How's that even possible? This is not that. These are not drunk as you were supposed. This is that. Spoken by the prophet Joel. Call me crazy if you want to. If we're getting people saved, healed, delivered, stage 4 cancer is healed here. Blind eyes opened here. Maybe even tonight. You came in this place in need of a miracle. You have absolutely come to the right place. And he said, it feels like camp meeting. Every time the church gets together, it ought to be like camp meeting. Every time we come together, there ought to be a display of his love, a display of his power. There ought to be a release of the kingdom of God. There ought to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. There ought to be repentance. There ought to be sorrow at times. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on, lift your hands. I'm not going to preach long unless, of course, I do. Lift your hands to Jesus. Leadership in the Spirit. I am not a pastor freed from the things that I've been freed from because it was some mumbling guy up front. And I'm not living this life for God because of some tremendous teaching, although I believe in that and I'm thankful for that, and good anointed teaching can break open a region. I am serving God today because he purchased me and he apprehended me with unexplainable power. That all the things I did up to that point to get that hole in my heart filled paled in comparison. Absolutely paled in comparison to his presence, his power. It's nothing like you, God. Thank you that you saved me. You healed me. You made me whole. You made me whole. Somebody said, it's when people start laughing in your church, it bother you? Mostly not. When there's genuine joy, it doesn't bother me at all. There's laughter, it doesn't bother me at all. If there's weeping, it doesn't bother me at all. Well, how come sometimes you stop stuff? That's the stuff that bothers me. It's very simple. I'm leading the service. I'm responsible for the service. I'm responsible to cut a U out of the bank so you can drink from the still water. I'm your shepherd. I'm your pastor. So we don't let any fruit of the loom just come on up in here. We don't do that. We don't just let anybody walk up in here and do whatever they want, say whatever they want. We have security everywhere. Why? Because that's the hour and the day in which we live. People that preach from this pulpit or live holy lives, I live pure. My guests had come. They didn't just call me, and I didn't get them off of 1-800-GET-A-GUEST. It's important to have, this is a safe place. But at the same time, I refuse to become a religious control freak and not let God move. I want him to move. Did you hear that? Amen. I have a whole message on speaking in tongues online, but I just want to take a few more moments and then we're going to pray for anybody that wants prayer. It's 8:36. What prevents churches from being free? Want to know? I'll tell you. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, our mindset. Most people have a Greek mindset. It's the influence of Greek culture. It's exalting intellect above encounter. That's not the way Jews were. That's not a Hebrew mindset. A Hebrew mindset is yes, intellect, yes, knowledge, but at any moment, God could break in. And so many have become intellectual believers. Eastern mysticism and meditation is another reason. It's just defilement. And there's fear. And let me just say this also for all of my pastor friends online and if you don't have the gift of discernment, do not try to have a move. Don't allow, you got to get that gift. You better, like, don't let the Holy Spirit move. That's terrible to say, but you better have the gift of discernment because you got to know what is God and what isn't. And I've been in places where they call it God. It's absolutely the devil. And you could feel it. You'd need, somebody said, I don't want strange fire. I don't want strange fire either. And we don't have strange fire. That's why you see all the evidence. What evidence? Hundreds, 100 people saved last week. A week before, pardon me. I don't know what the count is currently. I'm going to guess I'm going to say 30-something, but we're not done with this service yet. That's good fruit. A building that's impossible, laughed out of banks all over. Here it is. We're here. We didn't pay for it all yet, but it's Lord, so he's going to pay for it. Come on, somebody say amen. People transformed, people healed, teams being raised up, 174 life groups. Listen, I'm bragging on God. I'm telling you, when you look for fruit and you see lives changed, lives transformed. Oh, well, I knew one person and then they went to this church and they didn't tip me at all. Well, they're not healed yet. They need to be set free too. Just like you, gossip. You. We're all in process. But you must allow for the move of the Spirit of God. You've got to have discernment, and it's different for other churches. We're big on this. Guess when we're going to change? Never. Why not? I can't. Why? Because he's my best friend. And I want to go to church with the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Ghost to come. I want to be transformed. I want to be convicted. I want to experience joy. I want to see supernatural power. And there is sometimes people that'll be in the flesh. Well, what do you do about that? I know that person. They had hands laid on them, and I know them. There was nothing wrong with them to begin with. And then the other thing is they fell down on that's fake. Is it? I know it is. Are you sure? Would you stand before the throne of judgment on that day for that? Judgment that you're making? Are you sure? You better be sure. What about you, Pastor? Are you sure? I have no idea. Do you think that happens in church? Absolutely. But let me just tell you the old expression my mama taught me. Don't you throw the baby out with the bathwater. You're always going to have flesh and things that happen. And we need to guide it and make sure things don't get out of order. There needs to be order, but there also needs to be a holy chaos. You will never have revival with a spirit of control. You will never have it. You just won't have that. You try to control every little infinitesimal detail of everything. You will never have a move of the Spirit. It won't happen. He'll move within that because he's a gentleman, mostly. So what are you saying? I'm saying, yeah, we have sometimes. Maybe somebody decided to lie on the carpet. But then you also get stage 4 cancers healed. I don't know. Pentecostals, they like manifestations, shaking, all that. They like seeing that. But, you know, some of the greatest things I've ever seen didn't look like anything happened. Like my missionary friend, no manifestation. Yeah, I just don't want to fake it. And he walks off, comes back, 100 saved, businesses all over a nation that's illegal to serve, illegal to be a Christian, and testifying it was the power of the Holy Spirit. Our mindsets hold us back. Problem of a spectator generation. I think that's the other thing. How many, go look at how much you looked at reels. Now, I know some of you don't even know what a reel is, so I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking to everybody else that knows what a reel is. How many reels, how much time did you spend scrolling today? It's a spectator generation. I mean, most of us were raised, we had TV. I remember when the TV used to go off. Anybody else remember? Dude. We'd count down, and it would literally gone. No more TV. We're a spectator generation, so people don't, instead of coming hungry and thirsty and desperate, they come with arms folded. I wonder if that's the Lord, all the while not paying attention to your own heart and hunger for God to touch you and change you, you ugly thing. You're not really ugly. You're beautiful in the sight of God. Go ahead, tell your neighbor you're beautiful in the sight of God. But when we look and we spectate and we judge other people and we point the finger and we don't allow him to penetrate our heart, that is ugly. Well, a lot more notes here, but God is not a God of confusion, so it's important not to have that, and we don't and we won't. I love that scripture, the spirit of the prophet subject to the prophet. And the job of a pastor in revival is to lead that. We have protocol here. Pastor Tim is fully aware of what would happen if I just got touched by the fire of God right now and went down into some vision. What would happen? You'd start singing. Go ahead, sing something. She'd start singing.
Rain down.
Pastor Tim would pop up.
Rain down.
Pastor's getting touched by the Lord right now. Has that happened?
Yeah.
So there is, leadership's important. You leading your home, sir, is important. It's important. You lead your home like that. Lead your home with the Spirit and the Word, both. Got to have both to grow up. I'm just so impressed to stir you. It's an unusual message tonight. It's an unusual word tonight. Lift your hands all across this place. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. And our community needs the power. They know the power of the devil. We need the power of God put on display. Oh, my goodness. Want to be a church like that? We are a church like that, but we'll ever remain so. The seeker-friendly movement is to not make anybody uncomfortable. Hey, I don't want you to be uncomfortable either, but if you have sin, I want you to be uncomfortable and get rid of it. It's uncomfortable to have disease. It's uncomfortable to be broken. It's uncomfortable to say that way with powerless Christianity that's bound by the traditions of men and religion, the two twin sisters from hell, my friend says. Religion and tradition are the two twin sisters from hell. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, why do we want to be a church like that? Well, one, I don't want to offend God. Number two, I want to see people healed. We had a lady in Oahu get up out of a wheelchair. It's on one of our posts somewhere. I came up to her. She had faith to be healed. I don't know how else to say it. It wasn't so much my faith. I had some faith, sure. She certainly did. Others around us did too. She'd been in the wheelchair, I think, for 10 months. Couldn't work, couldn't walk, couldn't feel her feet, neuropathy, all kinds of problems. I looked at her, I said, "Do you want to walk?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Then get up in the name of Jesus." And she moved her feet, which she couldn't do before. And I grabbed her under the arms and I began to lift her. I got her up out of the seat and she began to move. And she's walking around her house today. This is now many weeks after, healed and whole, no longer in a wheelchair. And you never see that unless you have a boldness, unless you go for it. If you don't pray for people, how are you actually going to see a cancer go? How are you actually going to see that brother set free from pornography? How are you actually going to see that person delivered if you don't boldly go for it? What if they don't like me? Who Who cares? What about God? What about the fact that he was crucified so people be set free? Preach the gospel. Get people saved. They don't like it, God will give you a whole other congregation. Bring it in love. Don't be rude. I can be rude, but I'm working on it. Just things just make my, I just get irritated. I don't want to just get together and have a koinonitis. I love koinonia. I do not like koinonitis, Dr. David. That's where we just get together just to get together. I don't want to do that. I want to get together to pray and to reach the lost. Powerful altar calls, the presence of God, people healed. Lift your hands all across this place.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.